Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Good evening to everyone. We thank God for another evening. We thank God for this edition. Last week I wasn't around, but tonight I'm here, and I believe for the now till 9:30 we'll be looking at some of the things in the news and the things happening in the world. Indeed. Never has the world been in this situation with a whole lot of things happening at the same time. You know, it makes the Bible comes out to be very, very authentic and very true. And indeed, no book can be so accurate in times of how to describe the state of the world at a particular point in time, just as we have now. All right, I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life from now till 9:30. I'm going to be with you, and then previous editions as well. You can get it on spiritissues.info. This evening's edition will be added to it, so you can get it there. And then on Telegram, the group Spirit Issues, you can search and also join there. But, well, the news, you just look through the news and it's like, wow, what is happening in the world? It's enough to bring fear into you. It's enough to make you worried, make you depressed, make you stressed out. But we know the God that we serve, and we know what He has promised us. So as believers, our duty is to believe in the God and know the God that we believe in. At another level, because we just can't be casual with our knowledge of God in these uncertain times. And let me go through some of the news, and then we discuss a few things. And the news are no good. We all know what's happening in the world. The first one is the UN. The UN says the peace deal between Russia and Ukraine unlikely. And that means, it's not good. So the UN Secretary General struck an ominous tone on Wednesday when asked about his recent meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin and the potential for a peace deal with Ukraine. Quote, "It was clear for us that at the present moment, there are no immediate chances of a peace agreement or immediate chances for a global ceasefire," quote, Antonio Guterres told reporters. Guterres said the UN was instead focusing on humanitarian needs and coordinating evacuations with the aid of International Committee of the Red Cross from devastated areas in Ukraine. He said the UN was still working to facilitate channels between Kiev and Moscow to facilitate evacuations and humanitarian corridors in the war-torn nation. The UN head unequivocally condemned Moscow's illegal invasion and said its devastation is seeping beyond Ukraine's borders. Quote again, said the Russian invasion of Ukraine is causing massive devastation, destruction, and suffering in the country, triggering the largest displacement in Europe since World War II, and sending shockwaves across the region and the world, unquote, he told reporters. This senseless war must stop. Guterres met with Putin late last month in a plea to allow for the safe evacuation of hundreds of civilians, including women and children and elderly, from Mariupol, the site of some of the toughest shelling since Russia's invasion began in late February. The UN chief appealed on hopefully following the UN chief appeared unhopefully following the meeting. A Putin spokesperson later said the Kremlin agreed in principle with the concept of humanitarian evacuations, though the remaining children, women, and elderly were eventually evacuated from the Avostal plant 2 weeks later. It remains unclear if civilian men were forced to remain and what will happen to the soldiers holed up in the plant's tunnels. Guterres appeared to gain no additional knowledge on Putin's plans in Ukraine following his visit to Moscow last month. When asked what he thought Putin's endgame is, he scoffed and said, quote, if I knew that I would have divining capabilities, unquote. And that's worrying. So that means the war, there's no end in sight. Oh yeah, there is no end in sight. And as you know, today it's obvious that the second city to the Russians are not able to capture it, so they are moving out of it. Like, it's just not going well, and that makes it more worrying because Putin is not the type who will just accept defeat. So that gives the chances of going more deadly with, you know, missiles or more deadly weapons and all that. So it's quite worrying. And the longer this war progresses, the more harm it does to the world food situation. Because Ukraine has quite a lot of food in their silos ready for export. And because of the security situation, they are not able to export it. So even I think somewhere last week, the Zelensky was talking of, the Ukrainian president was saying that if this thing continues down there the way it's going, the global food problem is going to be more compounded by Russia's activity. And that's what we are seeing. But even more worrying is another nation is being joined indirectly in the threats. So Putin warns Finland joining NATO would be a mistake. This happened the last, just yesterday, today, and nothing. Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned his Finnish counterpart that joining NATO and abandoning Finland's neutral status would be a mistake. He told Sauli Niinistö that the president, there was no threat to Finland's security. The exchange came during a phone call made by the Finnish president ahead of formal requests, which Finland is expected to announce very soon. Sweden has also indicated its intention to join the Western Alliance following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Finland shares a 1,300-kilometer border with Russia. Until now, it has stayed out of NATO to avoid antagonizing its eastern neighbor. Mr. Putin did not make a specific threat of retaliation over Finland's move, but the Russian Foreign Ministry has indicated there will be retaliation. Russia's decision to suspend electricity supplies to Finland is being seen as an early sign, however. In this statement, Russian energy supplier Rao Nordic mentioned problems with payments. Finland National Grid executive Reima Parvinen told the BBC the Russian suspension had not caused any problems. He said Russian imports accounted for around 10% of national supply, adding that they could be replaced from alternative sources. Following the phone call between Mr. Nenesto and Mr. Putin on Saturday, that's today, the Kremlin said the Russian leader had stressed the end of traditional policy of military neutrality would be a mistake, since there is no threat to Finland's security. It added, such a change in the country's political orientation can have a negative impact on Russian-Finnish relationships developed over years in a spirit of good neighborliness and cooperation between partners. Mr. Nenesto said he had told Mr. Putin how recent moves by Russia along with the invasion of Ukraine have altered the security environment in Finland. The conversation was direct and straightforward, and it was conducted without aggravations. Avoiding tensions was considered important, he said. NATO, a Western military alliance, was founded in part to ward off threats from the Soviet Union in 1949. President Putin has mentioned Ukraine's intention to join the alliance as one of the reasons for the invasion of its neighbor. So, with the threats now towards Finland too, it's quite interesting how things are going. And I think this week there was another statement by a Russian, one of the top people too, saying that I think Poland will be maybe the next country they will look at. You know, so this whole thing is open-ended. It's open-ended. But the effects of the war and all the other things happening is also unfolding in a very dramatic way and very, very worrying way. This news, when I read it, I was really amazed, but not surprised. More than 2 million adults in the UK cannot afford to eat every day, according to a new survey. 1 in 7 adults estimated to be food insecure, up 57% from January, owing to rising cost of living. That's serious. More than 2 million adults in the UK have gone without food for a whole day over the past month because they cannot afford to eat, according to a survey revealing the catastrophic impact of the cost of living crisis. You know, when I saw this news, I said, this is worrying, because when you have a developed country like UK, systems work, and a situation like this is unfolding there, it can give you an idea as to how the impact will be in Africa when it really hits us in the times ahead. Because places where the systems are planned, the systems are in place, even they can't cope. So how much more in Africa? It's serious. The latest survey of the nation's food intake shows a 57% jump in the proportion of households cutting back on food or skipping meals over the first 3 months of this year, with 1 in 7 adults, that's 7.3 million, estimated to be food insecure, up from 4.7 million in January. The Shadow Work and Pension Secretary, Jonathan Ashworth, described the findings as devastating, saying they expose how families were being left in desperate hardship. Quote, Boris Johnson is responsible for this crisis and has no solutions to fix it, he said. The survey came as one of Britain's biggest energy suppliers called for urgent government action to help households cope with an anticipated £1,000 rise in bills this winter. The London Fire Brigade, meanwhile, was forced to issue an urgent safety warning against improvising fires at home after a man set fire to his house by burning timber in his living room to keep warm. that is set by the Food Foundation think tank found millions more people, including 2.6 million children, report they now have smaller meals than usual, regularly skip meals altogether, or do not eat when they are hungry, as food insecurity returns to levels last seen at the start of first national lockdown. However, whilst many reported missing out on meals or eating irregularly during the first months of pandemic because of food scarcity caused by the panic buying and supply problems, the latest increase is put down to rising costs and poverty. Food banks are reporting that energy costs are so prohibitive for some people, they request that charity food parcels that contain no food that has to be cooked using cooker or that needs to be stored in the fridge or freezer. The rapid deterioration in food security reflects soaring energy, food, and petrol prices, coupled with below inflation benefit rises. The Food Foundation said it was so shocked by this initial findings that it reran the survey on a wider basis only to get the same results. It predicted food insecurity figures were likely to get worse over the next few months as inflation continues to rise and full impact of April's national insurance rise hits family budgets along the lifting of the energy price cap. Anna Taylor, the foundation's executive director, said the extremely rapid rise in food insecurity since January points to a catastrophic situation for families. Food insecurity puts families under extreme mental stress and forces people to survive on the cheapest calories, which lead to health problems. Professor Sir Michael Mammoth, a public health expert at University College London, said, quote, if one household in seven is food insecure, society is failing in a fundamental way. These figures on food insecurity are all the more chilling because the problem is soluble, but far from being solved, it is getting worse, unquote. There is little expectation that ministers will raise benefits or expand the school meals anytime soon, despite rising public concern over the cost of living. Last week, George Eustace, the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs Secretary, urged consumers to switch to value brands to save on grocery spending in response to rising food prices. Bless him, Eustace, he is actually aware there are cheaper brand foods in the world. The poor man who has lived such a sheltered life, he thought 10 pence off 10 of beans will solve the problem, said Kathleen Kerridge, an office manager and food activist from Portsmouth. On the food poverty frontline, charities are warning that demand for food is rising as budgets get tighter. Ellen Scarlett of Baslow Food Bank in Warsaw said it supplied 24 households with food parcels on the day after Easter last month, way ahead of its previous record of 16. And the report goes on and on. So basically, this is to do with UK. And the inflation reports today, this evening, just before I came to today, I was watching one financial report. And the World Bank reports that they issued earlier in the year about countries most likely to default in payments, their debts, and all that. And, you know, they listed the countries in Africa, East Asia, and all. And, you know, we are in there. Ghana is in there. Because, you know, and it's worrying. The global trend of inflation is really, really, and this week, April's inflation numbers came up, 23% now in Ghana for April. And food and fuel are the driving factors. And the truth is, there's no end in sight. There is no end in sight. So, what we are seeing elsewhere is not rocket science. It's just a matter of time. We are going to start seeing those effects here in serious ways. You see, when it begins to unfold here, in a much stronger way, our impact will be stronger because we don't even have the systems in the first place. You know, out there in UK and US and all, at least they have food banks and all, at least the systems to support a bit. Even that is giving issues. So you can imagine here where we don't have any food banks and all that. So, but it doesn't end. The report gets, it seems when things are stabilizing or trying to normalize a bit, then another big thing hits again. Today, India issues a statement which brings a whole big problem again to the food issue. India bans wheat exports as heat wave hurts crop and domestic prices soar. So India, being the second largest wheat exporter, issued a statement today, which is going to push prices up further in the world. So India banned wheat exports on Saturday, days after saying it was targeting record shipments this year, as a scorching heat wave curtailed output and domestic prices hit a record high. The government said it will still allow exports, backed by already issued letters of credit to countries that request supplies that's to meet their food security needs. The move to ban overseas shipments was not in perpetuity and could be revised, senior government officials told a press conference. Global buyers were banking on supplies from the world's second biggest wheat producer after exports from the Black Sea region plunged following the Russia's February 24th invasion of Ukraine. Before the ban, India had aimed to ship a record 10 million tons this year. The officials added that there was no dramatic fall in wheat output this year, but unregulated exports had led to a rise in local prices. We don't want wheat trade to happen in an unregulated manner or hoarding to happen, Commerce Secretary Sabra Yam told reporters in New Delhi. Although not one of the world's top wheat exporters, India's ban could drive global prices to new peaks, given already tight supply, hitting poor consumers in Asia and Africa particularly hard. The ban is shocking, a Mumbai-based dealer with a global trading firm said. We are expecting curbs on exports after 2 to 3 months, but it seems like the inflation numbers changed the government's mind. Rising food and energy prices pushed India's annual retail inflation near an 8-year high in April, strengthening expectations that the central bank would raise interest rates more aggressively. Wheat prices in India have risen to record highs in some spot markets, hitting 25,000 rupees, that's $3,200 per ton, well above the government's minimum support price of 20,150 rupees. So rising fuel, labor, transportation and packaging costs are also boosting the price of wheat flour in India. It was not wheat alone. The rise in overall prices raised concerns about inflation, and that's why the government had to ban wheat exports, said another senior government official who asked not to be named, as discussions about export caps were private for us, its abundance of caution. India this week outlined its record export target for the fiscal year that started on April 1st, saying it would send trade delegations to countries such as Morocco, Tunisia, Indonesia, and Philippines to explore ways to boost shipments. In February, the government forecast production of 111 million tons, the sixth straight record crop, but it cut the forecast to 105 million tons in May. A spike in temperatures in mid-March means the crop would instead be around 100 million tons or even lower, said New Delhi-based dealer with a global trading firm. The government's procurement has fallen more than 50%. Spot markets are getting far lower supplies than last year. All these things are indicating lower crop, the dealer said. And on and on. So, you know, the issues keep compounding for the world. It keeps compounding. And then this is from the BBC. East Africa drought. The suffering here has no equal. In a desperate village, or in a desolate, sorry, village in Turkana, northern Kenya, villagers are praying for rain, but it just won't come. A fourth season of failed rains is causing one of the worst droughts in East Africa in decades. And this village, which is home to 3,600 families, is one of the area's hardest hit. The land is dry, dusty, and barren. The remaining livestock and the withered gray shrubs which cover the land. The people eat whatever they can find, often not very much. Jacinta Lamaluk lives in the Lumopoth village. She is a mother of five whose eldest son has been suffering from malnutrition since September. The 12-year-old is weak and cannot walk or even stand alone. She says she has never experienced conditions as bad as this drought here. It's worsening, worse than it has ever been. That's why you can see signs of starvation here. Since the latest drought started last year, there have been countless cases of malnutrition. Miss Lumaluk said her family eats only one meal a day, as there is not enough food to go around. Priority is given to children and elderly. I wish there could be immediate aid to rescue the starving, especially the kids who are in danger, she says. Otherwise, we are expecting more people to die. Miss Lumaluk is just one of millions feeling the impact of the lack of rain. At a community meeting, local woman. Nakogai Long says they have been starting to think their situation will not improve. There has not been any intervention in 3 years. We are starting to believe starvation was meant for us, she says. It has become a companion. There is no food. We, the mothers, have to sacrifice ourselves and give what we have to our children or elders, she adds. Families have become desperate for food and water. Millions of children are malnourished. Livestock, which pastoralist families rely on for food and livelihoods, have died. The drought stretches far beyond the small Kenyan village, and the UN's World Food Program says up to 20 million people in East Africa are at risk of severe hunger. Ethiopia is battling the worst drought in almost half a century, and in Somalia, 40% of the population are in risk of starvation. The causes of this international crisis are complex and show no sign of abating. Climate change has been a chief concern. According to the United Nations, Africa is the continent most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. This is despite the fact it contributes only 4% of global carbon emissions. Ongoing conflicts in Ethiopia and Somalia are further exacerbating the already precarious conditions. Although far away, the conflict in Ukraine has also played a role, causing food prices to soar, worsening fears of hunger for communities who must buy food when they cannot grow their own. Ukraine has also captured much of the world's attention and resources. As a result, aid budgets are stretched, and there's no telling when or even if enough assistance will come to East Africa. The world is not looking this way. It's a situation that the head of UN's Humanitarian Affairs Office, Martin Griffiths, wants to change. I want to try hard to get the world to pay attention to the situation here, he tells the BBC on a visit to drought-affected northern Kenya. The world's attention is wholly focused on Ukraine, which is a terrible crisis, and I've been to both places. But the suffering I've seen here has no equal. Whilst his visit did not bring immediate aid to the region, he still hopes to be able to bring some relief if donors increase funding. At the UN or at the United Nations, we have a program for the Horn of Africa, which includes Kenya, precisely for these needs, he said. Properly funded, they would get the help that they deserve, and it won't take long. The inhabitants of Lomopoth village have shown resilience. What little food they have, they share among neighbors and are determined to protect the way of life. Raising awareness of the plight of this year or those year may bring global attention and aid, but as the drought drags on, the most vulnerable may not be able to wait much longer. Even if it rains, it won't help. Even if aid comes, it won't help. We need a long-term plan. Miss Lumakuk says, sheltering from the morning sun under a tree next to her home. Otherwise, you may come here in a few months and no one will be here. We will all migrate from here. And that's really worrying. But this is Kenya, Africa. Let's go to the U.S. The situation is no better. Worry and fear as U.S. faces baby formula shortage. So worry and fear as U.S. faces baby formula shortage. Parents are traveling far and wide to find baby formula as a shortage that began earlier this year worsens. The shortage is linked to supply chain challenges and closure of a major factory in February after a recall linked to bacteria. Experts say this is the worst formula shortage in decades. So, it's serious. You know, you look at, this is America and baby milk not available, and you watch the news and mothers are worried, and the shops that have sometimes they limit it, you can just buy four, you can buy beyond that, and empty shelves are staring at people. And not only the baby milk, other things. I was talking to a friend in Texas, and she was telling me how the rice that she normally buys, now when she goes to the shop and she asks of it, they said, I mean, they don't expect some to come again. So that type of rice is no longer coming. So that means she has to look for an alternative. You know, so in various parts of the country, shortages in various ways. You know, this thing started from last year, the supply chain crisis. You know, for listeners of this program, I've been talking about this in various editions, the supply chain. And then, you know, it compounded. Then it affected the fertilizer issues and all that. Then the war came, and then it has become something else. You know, so it's just getting more complicated as the days and the months go by. And I've told you on this program that the things we are seeing is just the beginning, unfortunately. I have to say it as it is. There's no end in sight. It is just the beginning. The West is way ahead of us. The things we are seeing, the inflation, the higher cost of things, it's not going to come down. It's going to go higher and higher and higher. Then, social unrest, like if you watch the news, what has happened in Sri Lanka, eventually it will be happening in various parts of the world, because people would not be able to stand the pain and the shortages and all price hikes and all that. So it will overflow into social issues. No, food is a security issue. I mean, that's a real fact. You see, so the world is really, we are headed towards a very turbulent, you know, I remember the first edition of this year said issues of life. I said it, I remember so well. I said that this year is going to be a very turbulent year. Oh yes. And we are nowhere. We are just May, 5 out of 12. We've not reached even half yet. And already we are seeing complicated things happening. And the months ahead, we are going to need God. Oh yes, you are going to need God. You know, one of our listeners, Isaac, he's in Cape Coast. Saturday, I was in Accra. I was at a program and then he sent me a message. Let me see if I can see the message. And he's a dreamer. I mean, the Lord shows him some of the things happening. The Lord showed it to him last year or in 2020. And it's happening just as he told me. And he's like, he sent me the messages, the dreams, what the Lord was showing him. And it's happening just as. So Saturday's one, when he sent me, Isaac, where is the message? Okay. The message is missing. No. Okay, all right, I've seen it. Saturday. Okay, so he sent this. Okay, so he sent it to me 8:50 a.m. He said, I had a dream today in the fuel prices that I saw were in record high value. The petrol price was 20 cedis per liter. The diesel price was 21 cedis per liter. May God help us and have mercy on our country. And you know, so when I saw it, I just knew that it's just a matter of time. We'll get there. And, you know, that's how it is. You know, the Lord has been speaking to his children. I had a chat with another pastor, this week. I think, let me see a conversation. Let me just read a portion. Yeah. She said, where is it? Okay. I sent her a news item. The UK, 2 million people cannot afford to. I sent her that news item. So we were chatting on WhatsApp, and then this is what she said. Latter part of last year and this year, the Lord has been speaking to me about it. And then goes on, but I keep putting it off. So you are confirming it now. So that's what she replied to me. You know, so the Lord has been speaking to his children. And that's how the Lord has been speaking to his children. So we should know what God is saying. Especially from the fact that God gives advance notice to his children before things happen. And so there's a reason why God is allowing his children to understand the times we are in, so that we can know what to do and how to pray and how to prepare. All right, issues of life. Let me finish off with the news. A few ones, persecution news, and then we are done. So we have Nigeria this week. There was this worrying news of this Nigerian student who was killed. Nigerian student beaten to death and burned over blasphemous WhatsApp message. A 25-year-old Christian student in Nigeria's Sokoto State was beaten to death and her body burned after her Muslim classmates purportedly found a blasphemous message she had sent to a school WhatsApp group, according to a persecution watchdog. The victim, identified as Deborah Emmanuel, who was also a member of the Evangelical Church Winning All, and a student at the Shegu Shagari College of Education, was killed on Thursday. US-based group International Christian Concern reported, adding that a video of her killing went viral on social media. Deborah, who lived with her parents in Sokoto, apparently got into an argument with her female classmates after sending a WhatsApp message. Her classmates interpreted as blasphemous, ICC said. The video posted on social media shows her lying still on the ground as she tried to protect her head with her left arm as male and female students gathered around, beating her with sticks, throwing large stones and shouting Allahu Akbar. She pleaded with her classmates not to kill her. School authorities reportedly attempted to save her but could not reach her. Muslim students and teachers don't like Christians in the school. A student from the school was quoted as saying, since the attack, Muslim students have blocked the road to the school and Deborah's house, making it difficult for Christians to move around, the source said. Nigeria's Christians are routinely targeted, kidnapped and even killed by Islamist militants, including radical Islamist Fulani herdsmen and terror groups Boko Haram in Islamic State West Africa province. Last December, Islamic Fulani radicals killed the late Reverend Dauda Bature, a pastor from the same denomination in Kaduna State, a month after abducting him and despite a ransom payment being made. The pastor's wife told church leaders that her husband preached about Christ to his captors and prayed for their repentance, which made them angry and might have contributed to their decision to kill him. In 2021, ICC designated Nigeria as one of the world's top persecutors of the year for its savage treatment of Christians. Nigeria is one of the deadliest places on earth for Christians, as 50,000 to 70,000 have been killed since 2000, the ICC Persecutor of the Year report stated. Open Doors USA, which monitors persecution in over 60 countries, reported that at least 4,650 Christians were killed between October 1st, 2020 and September 30th, 2021. That's an increase from 3,530 the previous year. Additionally, more than 2,500 Christians were kidnapped, up from 990 a year earlier. In a report released last year, the Anambra-based International Society for Civil Liberties and Rule of Law estimated that about 10 million people have been uprooted in northern Nigeria, where extremist violence was most severe from July 2009 to July 2021. The report added that about 2,000 Christian schools were attacked during that time. The atrocities include massacres, killings, mutilations, torture, maiming, abductions, hostage taking, rape, girl child defilements, forced marriages, disappearances, extortions, forceful conversions, and destruction or burning of homes and sacred worship and learning centers. Inter Society said the mass violence had resulted from the propagation of radical Islamism. That's worrying. Very, very worrying. You know, I saw the video and it's like, it's so bad. And they are just cheering. I wonder how people can be so callous and, you know, excited about it. It's serious. Classmates, I mean, so where is that love as human beings? I mean, it's serious. To Iran, we have Iran sentences Christian man to 10 years in prison for hosting house church worship gathering. House church, oh, that's serious. I mean, not that building a church, but just the house. There's meeting in the house with other Christian fellowship. And it can get you into prison for 10 years. A revolutionary court of Tehran has sentenced an Iranian-American Christian man to 10 years in prison for establishing a house church, which the judge called propaganda contrary to the disturbing to the holy religion of Islam, according to reports. Branch 26 of the Revolutionary Council for the Court of Tehran, headed by Judge Ashari, sentenced Anu Shavan Avidian, 60 years, to 10 years imprisonment, alongside two others who are members of his house church, Abbas, sorry, 45, and Mayam Muhammadi, 46, both of whom are converts to Christianity, Human Rights Activist News Agency reported. Article 18, a UK-based organization that promotes religious freedom in Iran, reported that Sori and Muhammadi received a range of non-custodial punishments, including a fine of $2,000 and 10-year ban from membership in social and political groups, as well as 2-year exile outside Tehran. In addition, they must regularly report to the offices of the Ministry of Intelligence. Avedian was also given 10 years of deprivation of social rights. The three were convicted on the charge of organizing and running an evangelical Zionist home church with the intention to act against national security and maintaining satellite dish and receivers. Serious, so national security. They were first arrested in August 2020 when about 30 intelligence agents raided a private gathering at a Verdian home in Namak, in an northeastern Tehran. But their case came into light only recently. The agents confiscated all the Bibles and communication devices with passwords. In Tehran's Evin prison, the three were subjected to psychological torture during several intense interrogation sessions. Judge Ashari pronounced Avedian guilty of establishing and leading an illegal group with the aim of disrupting the security of the country through educational and propaganda activities contrary to disturbing the holy religion of Islam through the dissemination of false claims, as well as contact with foreign countries or organizational guidance from abroad. This whole thing I've read, this description, is simply describing Christianity. I mean, that's the whole summary of it. The whole description is just describing Christianity. That's all. The Christians' defense was met with disrespectful remarks toward their character and insults to their faith, according to Article 18, which also said that over the past decade, authorities in Iran have closed down nearly all churches that offered services in Persian, the national language, or insisted they teach only in the ethnic minority languages. The Islamic Republic is ranked as the 9th worst country in the world when it comes to Christian persecution, according to Open Doors USA's World Watch list. And the last news item, then we are done. Back to Nigeria. Islamic militants kill 8 Christians, including children, in Nigeria. The radical Islamic militants killed at least 8 Christians, including children younger than 5, and wounded several others in an attack in Nigeria's Borno state, according to reports. A picture from the scene showed 2 diseased victims, each appearing to be young children, lying side by side, said the U.S.-based persecution watchdog International Christian Concern about the attack in Borno State's Kwal area. ICC added that one of its representatives met with a 2-year-old gunshot-wounded survivor whose mother was killed in the attack. According to various reports, the attackers were Islamic Fulani herdsmen or militants from Islamic State West Africa province. The attackers had AK-47 rifles and shouted Allahu Akbar while firing indiscriminately, according to ICC, which said a community member who was giving intel about a possible attack had issued a security alert. In response to his warning, an ICC representative went to the community before the attack began and rescued 15 children whom he hid in his home, beyond the scope of the assailants, the watchdog said. Despite an early warning, we told government officials, but they kept silent and allowed Fulani militants to kill us, a leader in the community was quoted as saying. The government is silent over the killings in my region because we are Christians, not Fulani Muslims. Wow. There has been an increase in attacks by suspected Fulani radicals against farming communities in Nigeria's Middle Belt states in recent years that have reportedly led to thousands of deaths. Weapons are being made available to militants in Nigeria through war-torn Liberia. In the country's northeastern region, the terrorist groups Boko Haram and Islamic State West Africa province have killed thousands and displaced millions in recent years. And I think today I saw my brother shared this document by the National Security Ghana. And let me see, I can quickly read it. Where is it? Oh, missing. Okay, so the document reads, so this is from the Ministry of National Security. So says enhancing security at various places of worship. Yeah, it's dated 12 May 2022. In view of the growing threat of terrorism from the sub-region and the expansionist drive of terrorist groups towards coastal West Africa states, with a renewed modus operandi of targeting public gatherings, including places of worship, it is imperative that precautionary measures are taken by all stakeholders. It will be recalled in 2013 that Al-Shabaab militants attacked the Westgate Mall in Nairobi, leading to the death of about 60 people, including the late Professor Kofi Awuno, a revered Ghanaian poet and author. Whilst the Ministry of National Security is collaborating with the relevant state security and intelligence agencies to institute measures to avert terrorist attacks in the country, your outfit is urged to enhance security, particularly in areas where mass gatherings are conducted. These measures may include, but not limited to, installation of CCTV cameras at designated places of worship and engaging the services of approved private security guards, among others. Although the above directive has become necessary, the Ministry of National Security assures you of your continuous resolve to institute measures aimed at safeguarding the peace and security of the country. Treat as urgent. Regards, Ambassador Major General Francis Edu Amanfo, retired National Security Coordinator, Distribution, National Chief Imam, Chairman Christian Council of Ghana, President, Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference, President, Ghana Pentecostal and Charismatic Council, and Corporate IGP Police Headquarters. So this from the National Security. So you can understand in the light of what I've been reading about Nigeria, this warning is from our security here. Okay, the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this short break.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry. Strength is gone.
Indeed, his strength is perfect. No, these are old songs which have very inspiring words. This is by Steve Curtis Chapman. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when our hours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. You know, if you look at the storms that are raging around us, you know, economic storms, food storms, fuel storms, you know, it's just, let me read Matthew chapter 8. And so, I mean, when Jesus was with the disciples, where he says, so from 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know, the storms of life is blowing strongly. The storms are blowing in various ways. And as believers, there is the temptation for us to, you know, that can push us into fear, weakness, you know, we are weak, how do we survive this? We are disappointed, some are disappointed in God. Maybe they are expecting something, and, you know, all manner of situations, all manner of scenarios, you know, in the midst of all that is happening in the world, the storms that are blowing. And even knowing that the storms are going to get stronger, it's important we position ourselves well in the one that can help us to endure the storms of life. And that is Jesus. You know, that is the reason why God gives his children advanced information and advanced knowledge of what is coming, so that his children can prepare adequately. You see, let me give an example. You have two people who, one has information about what is happening, that this is going to happen, that is going to happen, this is that, and now that. And then the second person who knows nothing at all, nothing, completely ignorant about all that is happening, doesn't even listen to the news, doesn't know what is happening in the world. It's just moving, just normal. Of these two, when things begin to unfold, the one who is informed, in as much as situations may be difficult and, you know, uncomfortable and all that, the one who is informed has a better chance of enduring or endurance than the one who was not informed. Because, you see, knowing something is ahead of you, psychologically And in our case as believers, spiritually, we can prepare through prayer, through faith, building our faith, strengthening ourselves emotionally and all that. You know, so that's why God gives his children visions, dreams, word of knowledge and all these things. It's not just for fun that God is showing his children or has been showing his children what is coming. Way, way, way ahead of time. I mean, I know a pastor in Accra this pastor told the church members, started telling them from last year, February 2021, that there's a food crisis coming. They should start preparing. I mean, as last year, February, the food situation, I mean, nothing was on the ground showing that there was a food crisis coming. I started talking about it on this program extensively from August last year. Even at that time, it didn't look anything serious, anything. So I know some thoughts like, I mean, who is this guy? I mean, just saying some things and all that. Even though I was reading UN reports, food situations and all, but you know, some still didn't believe it, some didn't take it serious and all. You see, so, but then the Lord has been revealing to people dreams and all that what is coming, the children should prepare. It's not just for fun that God will be giving sad dreams. No. I mean, it's a serious thing, so it can't be for fun. It's clearly for information and for action to be taken on. So when God gives his children information, he doesn't force it on anyone. It's a matter of choice. So those who believe it and act on it is to their advantage. Those who refuse to believe it and those who don't act on it, you can't blame God for it either. But ultimately, information is meant to be an advantage. So knowing the times we are in should then give us the opportunity to know what to do. One, we have to prepare spiritually. Obviously, we can't do it without God. The season we are entering, the season we are in, and the season ahead is obviously going to be a season that we will need God more than ever before. We are definitely going to need the assistance of God. We are going to need the provision of God. We are going to need the divine protection of God. We are going to need divine direction, guidance, counsel. I mean, we are going to need God in every facet of our lives. So in knowing the times we are in, God then should be the number one priority. Number one, God. Obviously, we just can't do without God. So we should position ourselves to know God better, to know how to live to please him. Because, see, it's one thing knowing God, and it's one thing God knowing you. So we have to position ourselves in a place where we know God, and God also knows us. So we are his own. We are his children. We are the ones, see, when you are in his will, you are living to please him, you are living right and all that, then the promises that he has, a whole lot of promises in his word, you can stand on it in prayer, by faith, declaration, and by faith and all that. And so you see, we have a role to play. It's not just like automatic. You just get up and it's like, oh, I mean, God is with us. Oh, God is with us. But your lifestyle is nowhere near a godly child. You see, we just can't say, oh, God will protect, God will provide, when our lives are opposite that of a Christian. Clearly, we'll be deceived and we'll be disappointed. So we should position ourselves and live right and live according to his will. Live to please him. Live lives that are worthy of being Christians. Then we can attract all that he has for us, the blessings and his provision and all that. And then the second thing is, psychologically, we should prepare our minds towards the times we are in. You know, I'm saying this because in the times coming, the situations going to arise in the world and all, it's already started. It's like a plane that is about to take off. You know, it moves slowly from the boarding gates. Sometimes, you know, the plane will be pushed. It's as if it's not going nowhere. It's slow. Even if you are walking, cry, it will be faster. And it's like, but, I mean, this moves a little slow to the runway. Then, eventually, the engines are revs to another level and then moves, accelerates, and then the laws of physics takes place, aerodynamics and all. But before it really moves and accelerates, where at a point, they call it ground speed, the speed starts to speed and then now takes off, it will look like nothing is happening. We are at that point where it looks like, oh, we are just seeing, there are some who even believe, oh, things will normalize, oh, things will normalize again. You know, the truth is the truth. Things are not going to normalize. If you think we are going back to pre-COVID life, normal life, pre-COVID, how life used to be. No. It remains in the history books of this world. The world is not going back again. I mean, if you've been thinking that way, then please, tonight I'm telling you, revise your notes. The world is not going back to pre-COVID era. In all the things you knew life to be, it's not going back again. We are in a new world, believe it or not. We are in the new world. The Great Reset, as the globalists are calling it, the New World Order, as they also choose to call it sometimes. That's what we are in. You don't need to believe it for it to be a fact. That's the reality. That's the reality. You see, so all that is happening, it's like when you see people who are playing, you know, chess game, or they're playing draughts, you know, the pieces are just being moved into places. You know, all that is happening in the world. There are some people who are sitting somewhere and they just look at all that is happening and they are laughing. Yes, it's to their advantage. They think they are smarter than God. They think they control the world. They think, yes, we are resetting the world to the way we want it to be. So let's bring the chaos, let's bring the confusion, let's bring the food crisis, let's bring the disease. You know, they are just playing everything to their advantage. Of course, they don't know that it aligns with Bible's, prophecy. But they think they are wiser than God. So they are doing all that they can do. And they are doing it anyway. And you see, so when we understand these things, we shouldn't be surprised when some things are happening. So the second thing I'm talking about is, you know, the first, I said, knowing God is like God first. I mean, you have to really understand that God is the one we are going to need. But second is, we have to psychologically understand that the world has changed. You see, so when we see some wild things happening, it shouldn't surprise us. Neither should it cause us to lose focus, cause us to be disoriented. And you know, the things coming, there are some who, if we don't strengthen ourselves in the Lord well, some will be depressed, some will be stressed out, some will just fall sick because of, you know, all that is coming. Some would, in extreme way, some will even commit suicide because of the challenges and the disappointments and the, you see, so it's important we condition ourselves well so that when the storms really begin to blow very, 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 very strongly, we will not be affected emotionally. Because it's very important, you know, spiritually you can be a good, sound Christian, working with the Lord, in good relationship with the Lord and all that. But you can be emotionally weak. Because the emotional aspect of you is that one, you have to take control of it. You have to ensure that you put weapons in place so that you are not emotionally affected. Psychologically, you are stable. You are not, it doesn't affect you. So it's so important. You see, so that when you see some wild things coming, situations suddenly turn the opposite way you thought things would be, and all, you are still stable. You are still grounded in the Lord. You don't blame God. You don't curse God. You know, all those things. Because you see, if we don't get these things well in place, that's where you can have people who begin to question God. So where is God? Where is God? And all that. Why me? Why has God allowed this to happen? You know, so it's important we understand the times and what is ahead of us. That, you know, if we understand these things well, it will help us to condition ourselves emotionally, psychologically, you know. Then the third thing is to, I mean, regarding all that is happening, how best can you prepare physically in terms of what can you do to prepare ahead of time? And that has to do with whatever you are doing, whatever you want to buy, whatever you want to do. That one is an individual affair. I mean, based on all that you know, all that you've been hearing on this, the things I've been seeing and all, and you see it in the news yourself, for those who watch foreign news and all these things, how best can you prepare physically? It's also important. How best can you prepare physically? You see, then, in terms of that aspect too, we also have to be wise in what, how we spend our finances and all. We also have to be wise in this course, because clearly we should be able to know that the times ahead, there is a lot of uncertainties in the times ahead. So we just cannot be spending recklessly, since the times ahead are unpredictable. Yes, very, very unpredictable. Uncertainties which you cannot predict. So it will be wise to know how to be, you know, manage your things well in the light of all that is happening, you are hearing and all. You see, when we put these three things in perspective, bringing God first in all that is happening in your life, psychologically, emotionally, and all, preparing yourself towards the times you are in, and then being wise and preparing physically and all. When we do these three things, God himself will guide us. You know, when we surrender everything to God, he will help you to stabilize yourself emotionally. He will also give you the wisdom to know what to do and how to do things. You see, so ultimately, even in all the three, fine, the first one is God, but even in the second one, when you've made God your number one, he, the same God, will also help you to do the number two well, in terms of helping you to stabilize yourself emotionally, psychologically, and all. And he, that same God too, will give you that wisdom, that divine wisdom, godly wisdom, to know how to do things. You know, just like what happened in the book of Genesis with Joseph. That wisdom that Joseph had to do regarding Pharaoh's dream and all, it was divine. You see, so God himself will also know how to guide you and how to prepare and how to do things. So ultimately, we need God. We need God at all levels. And then the rest will fall in line exactly. But we have to make the effort. Oh, yes. Because you can't just say, well, you are looking up to God, but yet you do nothing. You take no step. You make no effort. Just sit down and just, God will keep us. But then you are doing nothing. You are not praying. You are doing nothing. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So we have to really revise our notes. Let's get deeper into our relationship with God. We need to pray. As for prayer, we have no option than to pray. Oh, yes, we need to pray for the times ahead. We need to pray seriously. We need to pray because, I mean, it's rough. I mean, the truth is the truth. It's better to say the truth than to try and polish it and say things. No. The times ahead is not easy. But God is guiding light. He will guide us. He will show us the way in the midst of the darkness. As evil rises, He will be our light in the midst of the darkness. He will guide us. He will show us the way, where to go, what to do, where not to go, and all that. It's very important we put these things in perspective, that God is the one who is going to lead us in these days. Not we ourselves. No. We can't leave ourselves. We can't guide ourselves. We can't be our own shepherds. We can't shepherd ourselves because we are limited in our knowledge. We don't even know what will happen tonight. We are limited in the scope of what we know. But He, God, who knows tomorrow, is the one that when you commit your tomorrow into His hands, you know that you are assured of a better care and protection. Because men will fail, men will disappoint. But when we entrust ourselves unto God, He will not fail, He will not disappoint us. Even when it looks like He has failed or He has disappointed us, it is still for a good cause. At the end of the day, it is still for a good cause. Because sometimes the challenge we have as humans is because we can't understand God fully. His denial sometimes looks like a no. But when even God says no and He denies something, at the end of the day, it is still to our benefit. Because we don't know tomorrow. He knows. So sometimes when He says no, at the end of the day, ultimately, that no would be a good thing for you at the end of the day. So you look back and you realize, oh, even at the point when God said no, it's rather turned out to be good for me after all. So let's trust God. Let's build our faith. Let's trust God. Let's know that we need Him more than ever before. Oh yeah, we need Him more than ever before. You know, there's no other way to describe it, but we need God more than ever before. Because He is the one who can guide us. He is the one who can protect us. He is the one who can provide for us. He is the one who can deliver us. There will be times He would have to provide. Then He is our provider. There will be times He will deliver us from evil. Then He will be our deliverer. There will be times, you know, He is the one we should look up to fully. Because men, you know, look at what is happening in the world. Even countries with planned systems, leaders have virtually lost. They don't know how to solve things. It's like, it's just beyond human ability now. You know, the news that I read, UK, you know, I mean, ideally, who would assume that things would be this bad in the UK that you have this large number of people not being able to eat in a day? But it's happening. You see, so at the end of the day, you realize men have their limitations. Governments have their limitations. So when you see even developed systems having issues like this, then you can wonder, because even those who have planned systems are struggling. So how much more ours, Africa? So no, when you see, read the report, World Bank reports and all, you know, the way they, you know, you realize Africa is something, it's like, it's just seen as, we there for the problem is going to be a far bigger issue than the rest of the world. And it's true, because that's how the systems are here. We don't have planned systems. We don't have food security as it is, like the way it is elsewhere and all. So they can see the UN reports and all. They can project and know that, as for Africa, it's going to be far bigger problem than the rest of the world. Unfortunately, that's the truth. You see, so when you find yourself in this place, then you have to know that your trust should be in God. You can't trust the system. It's God that you have to trust. Ultimately, it's God that you have to trust. And I believe as we do so sincerely and truthfully, He will be with us. It's very, very important. He is the one who has been with us, and He is the one who is going to be with us for the rest of the year. And it's important we do not give up our hope. It's important we stay strong, we stay committed to whatever we are doing. Let's ensure that the times we are in does not derail us from our faith. No. It should be the times rather that we deepen ourselves in our faith. Yes. We should deepen ourselves in our faith, strengthen our beliefs in God, strengthen ourselves emotionally, psychologically, and all. And He Himself will guide us. Let me end with this song. I'll be back before I close.
Child,
He is more than enough for us. So we thank God for this evening's edition of Issues of Life. This is Eben, and you can get the recording on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group, Spirit Issues. So I believe you've been encouraged in the midst of all that is happening. Good night, and God bless you.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on.
Are you looking for the best education for your child? Look no further. Welcome to Learn Young Academy.